If you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Malachi chapter 4 and verses 1 through 6, as we continue in our series back to the basics, Malachi chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word. And we just thank you so much, Lord, for the gift of family. And I pray you just show us this morning, Lord, in these last days, how critical it is that we put you first in our families. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. In case you thought that kids shows were still safe for kids, here's what Blue's Clues did to celebrate Gay Pride Month last June.
Hey, Blue, look at all these families.
Hi, families. It's time for a pride parade.
Families marching one by one, hurrah, hurrah. Families marching one by one, hurrah, hurrah. This family has two mommies. They love each other so proudly, and they all go marching in the big hooray.
A cartoon drag queen and a bunch of cartoon animals, including a transgender beaver with mastectomy scars, pushing the idea that any combination of perverted LGBTQ people makes up a family just as normal as yours is. And who is Blue's Clues aimed at? Preschoolers ages 3 to 5, to destroy in their minds what a family is really supposed to be. People, we are seeing the greatest, most evil, most demonic attack against God and His created order for the family that we have ever witnessed in our lifetime. But the text we have in front of us this morning reminds us why family is still a blessing that's worth fighting for. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Back to the Basics, trying to get back to all the basic fundamental truths from God's Word so that we can get back to the Lord in these last days before it's too late. And today we get back to the basics about the family. And to see that, we turn today to Malachi chapter 4 and verses 1 through 6. In this part of Malachi chapter 4, Malachi is prophesying about what's going to happen in the last days. And in our text today, he tells us it's either going to be blessings or curses, depending on what we do with the family. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we're going to get back to the basics of the family. We got to get back to the basics of why family even still matters to start with. Our text this morning, Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, tells us three reasons why family, as designed by God, still matters a lot. And let's look and see what those three reasons are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why family still matters, is because family was God's idea. And that is exactly what Malachi is telling us here in verses 1 to 6. Because the world today doesn't have a clue what a family is supposed to be. Joy Behar says on The View, family is everything in your life. No, Jesus Christ is everything in your life. Amen. Kevin, my family is like a fine wine, locked up in a barrel down in the cellar. No. Barney the Purple Dinosaur says, I love you, you love me, we're a happy family, because family is whatever you want it to be. No. How many of y'all realize Barney was woke before his time? Family is not what the world says it is. Family is what God says it is in His Word. Because family was God's idea. So let's go back to the basics. Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6, Jesus said, for this reason. For what reason? Because God creates all human beings, either male or female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife and get married and have sex and become one flesh. For what reason? so that they can be fruitful and multiply and commit paternity and have children. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. For what reason? So they can raise those kids to know and serve the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 6 and 7. For what reason? So they can produce godly offspring. Malachi chapter 2 verse 15. So not just rugrats, not just crumb crunchers, but little Christians. So God would always have people who are faithful to Him and faithful to spread the gospel in every generation until the rapture comes. That's God's plan for the family. That's God's plan for every family. That's God's plan for your family too. Notice, not two men together, not two women together, not a boy and his dog, the three stooges, two guys, a girl, and a pizza place, or the little old woman who lived in the shoe. A man and a woman married to each other in the Lord with children either by reproduction or adoption if God so leads. That is a family. And it's foundational. Because that family has been the basic building block of every society that's ever existed throughout the history of the world. So family was not created by right-wing radical Bible-thumping homophobes to discriminate against gay people. Family was created by God because it's what's holding the entire honking civilization together. People, that's why family still matters and why it still matters a lot. Not saying that divorced and single parents can't do family, because with Christ all things are possible. There's divorced and single parents in the Bible. Just saying the ideal is for a man and a woman, a husband and wife, to do it together. Amen. And I know somebody's saying, well, Kevin, me and my spouse don't have children. Me and my spouse don't have children either. Because of a medical problem on her part and my part both. But we are still a family. And don't tell me that that family isn't a blessing. Last year, wild child Lindsay Lohan, who drank and drugged and parted her way out of her own acting career and even spent time in jail for DUI, got married. And just this past July the 16th, she gave birth to her very first child, a little boy. This is what Lindsay Lohan said about it. Even with all the success I've had with acting, all the fame and the money and the bling, getting married, getting pregnant, and starting a family is the greatest thing I have ever done and the greatest blessing of my entire life. Of course! And why is family such a blessing? Because family was God's idea. But folks, sadly enough, that is exactly why the devil is attacking the family today and trying to destroy it. And we see those attacks on every side. Marxists in America today are trying to destroy the biblical family because they say it's oppressive. Karl Marx said this years ago. Destroy the family, destroy the society and the country. See what the goal is? Black Lives Matter is Marxist. And they try to destroy the biblical family, even though they took the statement off their website for the sake of PR. Attacks against the family coming at every side. 90% of all young men in America today are hooked on porn. So they would rather have sex with themselves than try to build real relationships and real families with real live women. And because of that, the marriage rate today is through the floor. People that do get married are waiting longer in life to get married. And because they're waiting longer in life, they're having fewer children. The average age now for a woman in America to give birth for the very first time is 30. 30 years old. Only one out of five families in America today is still called something that's called a nuclear family. Meaning the original husband and wife married to each other with biological children that they are raising together and that they had together. Look, right back there, a nuclear family. And everybody, you better feast your eyes, because the nuclear family is going the way of the dodo bird and the saber-toothed tiger. People today make a joke out of family. Rapper Nick Cannon now has 9 different children by 5 different baby mamas, whom not one of them he's married to. And he says the one he decides to sleep with every night is the one who texts him the most during the day. People don't care about family any more than a man in the moon. But the biggest attack of all against family is LGBTQ. Because it changes the definition of what a family is. Lesbian activist Roberta Aktenberg said this. A family is a unit of interdependent and interacting persons related together over time by strong bonds, whose central purpose is to create, maintain, and promote the social, mental, physical, and emotional development and well-being of each of its members. People, that definition could apply to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Nothing about a mom and a dad or a man or a woman or children. Why are they redefining the family? Because redefining it is the first step to destroying it. If gay is not okay, and it's not, why would gay families be okay? Because gay couples cannot naturally reproduce and raise the product of their conception. And every single study today that's not in the tank for big gay proves over and over again children are far better off when they are raised by a male father and a female mother who are married to each other. They're physically safer, much less likely to be physically, emotionally, or sexually abused, suffer far less from depression, stress, anxiety, and psychological problems. They bond better with parents. They do far better in school. I could go on and on and on. Gay couples think they're smarter than God by disobeying the Lord and purposely denying a child either a father or a mother because they don't think it's necessary. I got that going on in my own family. And I know I'm going to catch hell for saying this, but what's new? It's evil, and it ought to be illegal. Amen. And you say, Kevin, straight families have problems too. Absolutely. We deal with it all the time. But you don't throw the family away because of it. Half of all parents in America today have a baby seat installed wrong in their car. But you don't throw the baby seat away. Because the problem is not with the baby seat itself. The problem is just with the people who are using it. Exactly the same thing with the biblical family. There's absolutely no problem whatsoever with the family as God originally designed it. The problem was with the people using it, and especially the people who are trying to destroy it with LGBTQ. Do we understand what a family is really supposed to be? Mike McGuire is a coal miner from Pikeville, Kentucky. And he's a huge Kentucky Wildcats basketball fan. His father, Robert, was a huge Kentucky Wildcats basketball fan and got him started by watching the games with him on TV when he was growing up. And now that Mike and Murph and his wife, Molly, have a little 3-year-old boy named Easton, he's got him loving Kentucky Wildcats basketball, too. So last October, when Coach John Calipari and Kentucky were playing their annual Blue Right scrimmage in Pikeville, so other people from other parts of the state could see it, Molly got on the horn and got tickets so that Easton could see his favorite team in real life and Mike could share that experience with him. But that night, Mike had to work late till after 5 o'clock. The game started at 6. So Mike just called Molly and told her to go ahead and take Easton and go on ahead because he knew by the time he drove all the way back home and took a shower and cleaned up, by the time he got to the game, it'd be half over. So instead, Mike just drove right from work to the game, covered with coal dust, didn't even take off his FRs. And you see him there, up since 4:30 that morning, worked over a 12-hour shift, never got to eat dinner, so tired he could cry. But he was not afraid or ashamed of what people might think of him, because he wasn't going to miss one single nanosecond of that experience with his son. And little Easton was so jacked about seeing that team in real life, he didn't sleep for 2 days. People, that's a father. Loving his children so much, he was willing to sacrifice and get dirty and not be afraid or ashamed of what anybody thought to give his child the greatest experience of his entire life. And after that game was over, Kentucky coach John Calipari saw the picture of Mike and his son sitting there, the picture that went viral, and then offered Mike and his wife Molly 2 free tickets to a regular season Kentucky basketball game in Lexington. Free hotels, free meals, the whole VIP treatment. That is the blessing of a family. And you know why? Because that is exactly what God the Father did for us to make us a part of His family. 2,000 years ago, God the Father loved us children so much. He was willing to come down here in the person of Jesus Christ and was willing to sacrifice and get dirty and bloody on a cross and didn't care what anybody thought or anybody said. Wasn't ashamed to give us the greatest experience of our entire lives too. And that salvation and forgiveness of sins and becoming a part of the family of God. So if you confess your sins to God, put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away, and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, God will give you something far better than the VIP treatment at a Kentucky Wildcats basketball game, and that's eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 11, you are members of God's family and He is not ashamed to call you brothers and sisters. So why does your family still matter? Because it was God's plan all along that your family down here on earth would be a witness to God's family up there in heaven. The first reason why family still matters is because family was God's idea. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second reason why family still matters. Not only because family was God's idea, but also because family raises up the next generation for the Lord. And that's also what Malachi is telling us here in verses 1 to 6. And parents, listen to me. I know it's not easy. It's not easy at all. Most parents suffer from a sleeping disorder called children. For parents, a vacation is going to Walmart without your kids. And why can't they ever find their backpack? Are they blind in one eye? And if you started screaming right now at 10 after 10 on this Sunday morning, you started screaming to them, get your shoes on, get your shoes on. They might, just might, make it onto school on time tomorrow morning. I know it's not easy. And raising kids for the Lord is the hardest job in the world because the devil has stacked the entire deck against you. Last July the 4th, Stewart Manor, New York, a 10-year-old girl named Alexa Cardona was watching the 4th of July parade and throwing water balloons. And the video you see there, she nails a Nassau County official named Bruce Blakeman right in the head from about 100 feet away. Now that was a great throw, but where's the respect for her elders? And that video went so viral, over 40 million people saw it. Even the honchos of the New York Yankees. And they thought that little girl had such a great arm. They invited her and her parents to a free Yankees game at Yankee Stadium. Even let her participate in batting practice with the players. Talk about rewarding bad behavior. See what the world glorifies. See what you're up against, parents. The warp value system today. They turned that girl into a hero. If my mom would have caught me throwing a water balloon at somebody, she'd have knocked me in the middle of next week. You say, well, Kevin, did your parents spank you when you were growing up? Yeah. And because of that today, I suffer from a psychological condition called respect for other people. Parents, you got to discipline your kids. If you don't discipline your kids, that means you love yourself more than you love them. Well, Kevin, I want to be my kid's friend. Your kids have plenty of friends. What they need are parents. I know parents right now who bought their 6-year-old daughter a smartphone. 6 years old. Who's she going to call? SpongeBob SquarePants? 1 out of 5 10-year-olds in America has their own smartphone today. Parents, do you realize that TikTok and Instagram and Snapchat have a starting age limit of 13? Most teenagers today have 2 phones. The phone their parents know about, and then the phone their parents don't know about. And phones today have hidden lockers on them that look like calculators or music apps. And you need a secret PIN number to get into it. And then parents, when you force your kid to tell you what the secret code is, when you put that in, it automatically opens up and activates what's called a dummy locker that has the innocent stuff in it, like videos of dancing cats. Because you need then another secret code, another secret PIN number to get into the real locker that has the porn and the sexting and all the bad stuff in it. Parents, you've got to have a doctorate from MIT to navigate this. Kids tell each other how to do it on the bus. There's parents listening to this sermon right now, maybe sitting right here in this church. Every single thing in your family revolves around your children. Everything you do, eat, play, attend, and pan for revolves around your kids. Because your kids are involved in everything from taekwondo to Japanese rock gardening and everything in between. Parents driving all the way across hell and half of Texas to go to their daughter's club volleyball tournaments. And yet those same parents won't get up and drive 5 miles to take them to church on Sunday morning. I think I'm preaching now. Parents, there is a little two-letter word that you need to say to your kids. It starts with an N and it ends with an O. Parents, your kids do not need Fortnite. They don't need Roblox. Your kids don't need premium cable channels or tickets to Taylor Swift. Your kids don't need all the college prep and the STEM classes. More than anything else, your kids need the Lord. It is not your job to idolize or glorify your kids. Your job is to lead your kids to glorify God. Parents, is your family a blessing or a curse for your kids? Because it's your choice. Young people, if your parents are going to raise you up to know the Lord, that means you've got to submit to them. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Obey the instruction of your father. Do not blow off the teaching of your mother. Because young people, you have any idea what your parents went through to have you? The very nanosecond that you were born, your mom and dad realized that they were never sleeping in again for the rest of their lives. They had to watch that stupid Frozen movie so many times they got frostbite. And do you realize how hard it was for your dad to look cool driving a minivan? I got young people coming up to me all the time. Kevin, my parents are so boring. Yeah, they got that way taking care of you. Kevin, my parents are tired all the time. Yeah, they got that way taking care of you. Kevin, my parents don't have any money. Yeah, they got that way taking care of you. And what's your number one responsibility to them in return? You obey them. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents, not vice versa. Got it? Because your parents represent God to you. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. Which means by respecting and obeying your parents, you are respecting and obeying God. But that also means by fighting against your parents, you are also fighting against God. Amen. And good luck with that. Last November, 15-year-old Danielle Turner from Dallas, Texas, started getting texts from a 20-year-old guy. Started flirting with her online. Of course, she didn't tell her parents because her parents weren't going to let her date until she was 16. And they certainly were not going to let her date a 20-year-old guy. Eventually, he said he wanted to meet her somewhere. So then she got this idea. Her dad was taking her to a Dallas Mavericks basketball game at Airlines Stadium there in Dallas. And so she told the guy online that she would meet him at a certain concession stand at that stadium. So sitting there with her dad, she made the excuse to go to the bathroom. Instead of going to the bathroom, she met that guy at the concession stand. Turned out the 20-year-old guy was actually a 33-year-old pimp and pedophile named Emmanuel Cartagena, who kidnapped her and sold her to a sex trafficking ring, who moved her to Oklahoma City and forced her to turn 20 tricks a day, 6 days a week, for 11 weeks until the cops finally caught up with them and brought her back home. 9 months later, that girl is still in hardcore counseling and therapy for the hell that she went through. Young people, your parents' authority over you, that is your covering, that is your protection from the devil. You step out from under that protection, you disobey your parents, get out from under that umbrella, the devil is going to be all over you like ugly on ape. Amen. Obey your parents that it might go well with you. There's young people listening to the sermon right now, maybe right here in this room. Your parents are doing right by you by bringing you to this church. Because they want you to hear the word. And they want you to connect with God. But you hate them for it because this is absolutely the last place on earth that you want to be. But you don't get it. These are the last days. You've got a generation that's going to hell in a handbasket. And God has called you to be a witness to them and to shine like the stars in a wicked and perverse generation. But instead of that, all you want to do is screw around on your phone and do the FUPA challenge and act like a skank on TikTok. For the love of God, grow up and get off the phone. Yes. Now I know I'm preaching. Deuteronomy 29, verse 17, cursed is anybody who disrespects their father or mother. Young people, is your family a blessing or a curse? Because the choice is yours. Amen. Right. And I know there's parents listening to this sermon right now. Saying, Kevin, I blew it. I ruined my family. Because my kids walked away from God. I raised them in church, Sunday school, vacation Bible school, youth group, Bible camp, Christian school, and today they are as pagan as a Borneo witch doctor. Listen to me. 93% of all Christian parents in America have at least one child that walks away from God. It happens. And it happens a lot. And all the self-righteous Christians who want to mom and dad shame you and tell you what horrible parents you were. Kevin, what did we do wrong? Let me ask you. Who said you did anything wrong? Amen. Well, Kevin, I wasn't a perfect parent. If perfection was a requirement for being parents, nobody would ever have any kids. You stand before God on Judgment Day, God is going to judge you on whether or not you taught your kids the truth, period. Amen. God is not going to judge you on how your kids responded to it. That's what God's going to judge your kids for. Amen. And as much as it breaks your heart, as much as it tears you up, as much as you want to, you cannot make that decision for your child to get saved or to come back to Christ if you walk away. But as long as their kids have breath, there's hope. And you don't ever, 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 ever give up on your child. Just like they never gave up on theirs. Laura Perry grew up in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, in a Christian family with parents who took her and her siblings to church every time the doors were open. But when her parents, Paul and Francine Perry, told her growing up that they had lost twin boys premature before Laura was born, the devil planted an idea, a lie in her mind that she was her mom's last attempt to have a boy and that her parents liked boys more than girls. When she got to the point with growing up, she was so obnoxious about it, her mom didn't want to spend a lot of time with her, and that just reinforced the lie even more. And when she tried to date, she had so many guys that tried to take advantage of her and just use her for sex. She got this idea in her head that being female was something dirty and filthy and disgusting. And she turned her back on Jesus Christ and hated Jesus because he made her a girl instead of a guy. When she got out of high school, she started identifying as a guy and started referring to herself as Jake. And then when she was 20 years old, she got the full Monty. Cross-sex hormone therapy, testosterone injections, hair transplants, double mastectomy. She had her ovaries removed, had her uterus removed, every female body part removed or surgically modified. And for the next 9 years, she tried to live the transgender lifestyle. Even started living with a partner that she called her girlfriend, even though she wasn't gay. But no matter what Laura Perry did, she could never get away with the fact deep down inside she knew she really wasn't a guy and she never would be. And folks, you talk about parents absolutely devastated because she was the only child they had that walked away from God. Crying, depressed, scared to death, blaming themselves, blaming each other. And at first they tried to do everything they could think of to convince her that she was wrong. They talked to her till they were blue in the face. They gave her Bible verses to read. They gave her books to read, websites to look at, CDs to listen to. No response whatsoever. So finally, one day, the Spirit of God spoke to their heart and he said, you surrender yourself to me and you surrender your daughter to me. You work on your relationship with me. I will work on your daughter. So that is exactly what Paul and Francine Perry did. They got into a real Bible study. They got the Bible on CD. They were spending 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day in the Word. They were praying for hours on end together and by themselves. They got closer to the Lord than they had ever been before. Then they started reaching out to their daughter. For birthdays and holidays and lunch dates and coffee dates. But they never referred to her as Jake. They never pretended that she was a guy. Even when she showed up wearing a beard. They just kept swallowing their pride. Just kept swallowing the hurt. Digging in the Word. Getting closer to God. For 9, even when they didn't see any changes in Laura at all. For 9 years. They would take care of their relationship with the Lord. God would work on their daughter. And he did. Because one Sunday morning, out of the clear blue sky, Laura Perry called her parents and asked if she could go to church with them. But all the while they were sitting in that church, Mom Francine was freaking out. All these people in this church, they think I'm a horrible mom. And the Spirit of God spoke to her heart again and said, this is not about you and your daughter. This is about your daughter and me. So for the very first time, Francine Perry was literally able to finally completely surrender her daughter to the Lord. She said, God, this is out of my hands. I'm putting it in your hands. I can't deal with it. You deal with it. Amen. And he did. Francine started leading a Bible study and it quickly grew to over 100 women. And they all prayed for Laura too. And she became a symbol of their own prodigal children. And the Bible study was so popular, the women asked Francine to put all the material online. And because Laura had a background in web design, Francine asked her to do it. which meant Laura had to read all the lessons and all the Bible verses to summarize them. And Laura did read it all. And because of that, she started getting into the Word too. And then one night, the Lord spoke to her and said, Laura, I know. Jake, I don't know. And she was so convicted of rebelling against God, the very next day she told her parents she was leaving the trans lifestyle. After 9 years of heartache and all her parents' tears and prayers and surrender and all the prayers of those women in that Bible study, Laura turned her back on transgenderism, broke up with her partner, and after 25 years came back to Jesus Christ. Then May 21st, 2022, she married a Christian man named Perry Small, and today she works with First Stone Ministries, helping other people who are trapped in the lie of transgenderism. Praise God from whom all blessings flow! There's parents sitting in this church right now, listen to the sermon. You've got a kid lost in the wilderness of transgenderism or homosexuality or drugs or meth or whatever. And you've gone through absolute hell trying to deal with it too. But listen to me. What God told Paul and Francine Perry to do about their child is exactly the same God's telling you to do about yours. Amen. Don't you dare for a nanosecond live in fear and regret. And don't you dare let the devil lay a guilt trip on you, because this is not about anything that might have happened in the past. This is only about what's happening right now. Amen. You say, but Kevin, everybody thinks I'm a horrible parent. Listen, this is not about you and your children. This is about your children and the Lord. But Kevin, we are Christian parents of prodigal children. You are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything else. So you surrender yourself to the Lord and you surrender those children to the Lord. You work on your relationship with God. God will work on your children. You go after God. God will go after them. Amen. And you keep loving them. And you keep spending time with them. And you keep reaching out to them. Now, you never affirm them in their sin, because Christians, we do not perpetuate a lie. And if they fight you, you just show them the light of Christ and be Jesus to them. And I know there's parents listening to this sermon right now. You say, but Kevin, there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee they're ever going to change or go straight or sober up. I know that. We don't know the future. But God does. And that's what faith is for. So listen to me. I don't care who your kids are. I don't care what they've done. I don't care how far away they are. I don't care how long they've been gone. Those who trust in the Lord will not be disappointed. The Lord will bring your children back from the land of the enemy. In Acts chapter 16, verse 31, you and your household, you and your children will be saved. Amen. The second reason why family still matters is because it raises up the next generation. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. Third reason why family still matters. Not only because family was God's idea, not only because it raises up the next generation, but third, because family brings blessing, even to entire nations. And that's also what Malachi is telling us here in verses 1 through 6. Malachi's day, 450 BC, the biggest problem with God's people, their families were messed up. Because the children rejected their fathers and the God of their fathers. So Malachi tells them here in verses 5 and 6, God speaking. He says, if you don't repent and heal those families, I'm going to smite your land with a curse. And everybody that reads the book of Malachi is freaked out. Oh my gosh, the Old Testament ends with a curse. Yeah, but notice New Testament. The very first public sermon that Jesus preaches, the very first word of the very first public sermon that Jesus preaches, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, what is that word? Blessing. The biggest problem with America today is also family. Every single problem that we have in this country right now can be traced back to the fact that the family is messed up. Amen. And God's telling us exactly the same thing. You don't repent and heal the family, I'm going to smite your land with a curse. Amen. But here's the good news. You put Jesus Christ at the center of your family. Jesus Christ can reverse the curse and turn that curse into a blessing. Amen. But the problem is, instead of America today turning to Jesus Christ and blessing the family, America today is turning against Jesus Christ and trashing the family. And folks, I hate to tell you, that curse has already started. America's declared war on children. During the lockdown, the left closed your kids' schools, isolated kids from their friends, put them online for hours on end, filled their minds with all kinds of LGBTQ claptrap, and got them so depressed. Today there is a 4,000% increase. 4,000% increase on kids thinking that they're transgender. And the teenage suicide rate in America has never been higher than it is right now. You don't think that thing was all planned from the start? And parents, all those first day of school pictures of your kids that you post on Facebook, those are like GPS locators for sex traffickers to find your kids. All they need is 5 seconds, 5 seconds of your daughter's voice on social media to be able to duplicate it and make you think that your daughter is with her friends when she really isn't. The number one curse on families in America today is fatherlessness. ~98% of homeless and runaway youth are fatherless. 85% of prison inmates grow up without a father. 71% of pregnant teenage girls. 75% of high school dropouts. 2 out of 3 teenagers who commit suicide grow up without a father. The national illegitimate birth rate is now almost 50%. Half of all children growing up in America are growing up without a dad at home. Amen. In the black community, it's 80%. 80%, 8 out of 10, because men breed like rabbits and have no intention of raising the babies that they create. But see, you say that, that's racist. Okay. Here's the sad stats about America and the damage that it's doing to the family. America now has the biggest child sex trafficking operation in the history of the world along the southern border. America is now one of the top destinations in the world for sex trafficked children. America is the number one producer in the world of porn. The number one consumer of porn in the world. America is number one in the world for transgender surgeries. Number one in the world for trans surgeries for kids. Number one in the world for teen suicides, especially for girls. I could go on and on. Don't tell me the curse hasn't already started. America's declared war on parents. Because the left thinks you Christian parents are the worst thing that could ever possibly happen to your children. You're the problem with what's going on today. It's you. Joe Biden says your kids don't even belong to you. They belong to the state. So they will do absolutely everything they can to separate you from your kids. Teen Vogue magazine is now telling your daughters how to get an abortion without you even knowing about it. In the state of California right now, if you don't agree with your kid when they claim that they're transgender, if you don't think that LGBTQ is the greatest thing since deep fried Oreo cookies, the state of California will come to your house, arrest you for child abuse, and take your children away from you. You say, well, Kevin, that's California. Parents, listen to me. Coming to a state near you. Mom Nicole Solas, South Kingston, Rhode Island. All she did last September was ask her daughter's school if they were teaching her critical race theory in the first grade. Folks, school curriculum is public record, and according to the 14th Amendment, you have a God-given constitutional right to know what your children are being taught in school. But in spite of that, the school stonewalled her. Banned her from going to school board meetings. The National Education Association sued her for gazillions of dollars. The FBI put that woman's name on a domestic terrorist watch list just for wondering what was being taught in her daughter's first grade class. And in case you're wondering where the church is and where all the Christians are about all this, today, right now, a queer drag queen who calls himself Flamey Grant has the number one song on Christian iTunes. Don't tell me the curse hasn't already started. And what does Malachi say here is going to happen because of it? Judgment is coming in the last days. Verse 1, the day will burn like a furnace because 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, Jesus Christ will come down from heaven with blazing fire and clean house. And anybody who is anti-family, anybody who disrespects God or the family will be totally burned up until there is absolutely nothing left. The wildfires on Maui in Hawaii, driven by 80-mile-an-hour winds from Hurricane Dora, have killed over 120 people and destroyed thousands and thousands of homes and businesses. Historic town of Lahaina, gone, just like that. Fire and destruction moving so fast, it's there even before the warnings can be sounded. People throwing themselves in the ocean to keep from being burned alive. See the video.
Jesus, please help us.
This morning, as new videos show the inferno that engulfed Lahaina and how residents spent hours in the ocean to survive, anger is growing. How did the nation's deadliest wildfire happen with no...
People, that looks apocalyptic. Now, the wildfires in Hawaii are not God's judgment during the Great Tribulation, but they show us exactly what God's judgment in the Great Tribulation is going to be like. Sudden destruction. Amen. And every evil person, every evil doer, no escape, no getting away. And what's the good news for us Christians? Every leftist, every Marxist, every J.B. Pritzker baby killer and child mutilator, every woke teacher that's trying to queer your kids, every genderqueer unicorn, every school board Nazi that cuts off your microphone and calls the cops on you for trying to defend your children, every pornographer, every sex trafficker, every child molester, anybody who is an enemy of God or the family in any way, shape, or form, verse 3, are going to become nothing but ashes under the soles of your feet. So Christians, parents, hold on to your family, because your family still matters. And soon, and very soon, Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, the enemy you see today, you will never see again. Amen. In order to get that blessing from family, you got to fight for your family. George Pickering II and his 27-year-old son, George Pickering III, run an electrical contracting business together in Pinehurst, Texas. And the son, George III, has a history of seizures. Last December, he got put in the regional medical center, Tomball, Texas, after having a stroke. But after he was there about 7 days, doctors decided that he was brain dead. And they ordered a terminal wean, which means they were going to gradually and slowly reduce life support until he was completely dead. So the father, George II, pulled out a 9mm handgun, started a 6-hour standoff with the SWAT team, and held doctors and nurses at gunpoint because dad knew in his heart his son was not brain dead. And he just needed more time to prove it. And when he finally did prove it by showing the doctors that his son was squeezing his hand at his command, then he surrendered to police. Doctors kept the life support going. 3 weeks later, George III, Jr., the son, completely recovered, and today he's as fine and dandy as cotton candy. This is what he said. Everything good that made me a man came from my father. Yes, he broke the law, but he did it for all the right reasons. I'm here right now because of it. That was love. A father knows his child. You say, Kevin, he brought a handgun into a hospital. Yeah, let me ask you this morning. What would you be willing to do to save the life of your kid? Amen. That's right. And to save your family? That's right. Yep. Let me ask you this morning. What shape is your family in right now? And what do you need to do about your family in generations to come? Mike and Belinda Haar have been here at Fox River for about 22 years. Last August the 9th, they celebrated their 37th wedding anniversary. And on that day, Belinda posted a bunch of pictures back when her and Mike were dating, and also their wedding pictures. And she also said this, August 9th, 1986, 37 years ago, what would I tell this 21-year-old girl? First of all, you're unequally yoked, and neither of you are putting Christ at the center. So the first 16 years are going to be rough until you figure this one out. And she wasn't kidding. Now, both Mike and Belinda had already prayed to receive Christ. But before they got married, Belinda made Mike promise her that he would go to church with her on Sunday morning after they got married. Because Belinda, when she was growing up, always did want to go to church. Her family never would. So after they got married, Mike went to church with her one time and then stopped. Because the guy worked his butt off 6 days a week. Sunday was his only day off. And a lot of times his grandpa would be visiting, and grandpas don't last forever. And Mike always told her over and over again, church is for losers. So Belinda would take the kids in the summertime to a VBS at some church somewhere, pretty much gave up on the idea of ever going to church as a family together on a Sunday morning. Till 22 years ago, when their oldest son, Matt, stayed overnight with a friend whose family went to Fox River Church. Matt went to church with them the next morning, went back home and told his parents, hey, that Fox River Church is pretty good. They've been here ever since. And when Mike and Belinda started attending Fox River and started mixing and getting to know other couples and other parents who were trying to raise their kids to know the Lord, they got really convicted about the need to put Jesus Christ first in their marriage and to put Jesus Christ first in their family. And they did. Now, Mike and Belinda and their kids aren't perfect, and they never claimed to be. But in their time here, they've done so much ministry for the Lord and for this church. Mike's been an elder for years, prayed and counseled with all kinds of people. He designed this church building you're sitting in right now, helped us baptize all kinds of people in the Fox River. Belinda's done all kinds of women's ministry and Bible studies. All three of their kids know the Lord. They're all happily married to Christian spouses. I did two of the wedding ceremonies, baptized all their grandkids in the church or in the Fox River. And at a time when very few families give the Lord the time of day, all their children are involved in some kind of ministry to little kids, with teaching, horses, cowboy church, Awana, you name it. Hallelujah. See what happens? See the good that can happen when parents decide to put Jesus first in the family? And see the difference it makes, and not only for your family right now, but for your family and your descendants for generations to come when you decide to put Jesus first? And how do we know that? Well, here's the amazing thing. For years, Mike has done all kinds of research into his genealogy and his family tree, going back to I don't know how many generations. And he found out that the Haars moved from Pennsylvania to Virginia and West Virginia in the early 1700s. And to this day, you can't hurl a dead cat around those parts without hitting a Haar somewhere. And 2 weeks ago, they went to the town of Strasburg, Virginia, because Mike's great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, Simon Haar, was the school teacher there, and also the pastor of the Strasburg Lutheran Church, where he preached up a storm and married almost 400 couples. And back in that day, a Virginia Lutheran pastor named Peter Muhlenberg started the Black Robe Regiment, pastors who would serve as military commanders over the men that they recruited from their churches to fight in the Revolutionary War. And Simon Haar was a chaplain in Peter Muhlenberg's army, fought all the same battles those soldiers did, and lived to tell about. The guy was an American hero. And here's the kicker. In that little library in the town of Strasburg, Virginia, Mike and Belinda found Simon Haar's Bible in German. And in that Bible, he wrote down all kinds of information about the Haar family, including his own wedding date and the birth of his two sons. But then, October 21st, 1773, Simon Haar wrote out a prayer that he prayed not only for his family and his two sons, but his family for generations to come. This is that prayer. Thou, O triune God, may it please thee to let them grow and develop as well in faith, wisdom, and piety and all Christian virtues as in years. O vouchsafe to all of us thy Holy Spirit that guides us all in truth together and bring us along the straight path and ever nearer to our heavenly inheritance. And finally bring us thither for Jesus' sake. Amen. Simon Haar, October 21st, 1773. Folks, Mike Haar's ancestor made that decision for his family 250 years ago to serve the Lord. And you talk about paying off, because the blessing the Haar family is living right now is exactly what his great-great-great-great-great-grandfather prayed for them to have 250 years ago. That is what you call a multi-generational vision or legacy for your family. So Christians, let me ask you this morning, if Jesus doesn't come back for a while yet, do you have a multi-generational vision for your family? You say, well, Kevin, we don't have a Simon Haar in my family. No, but your family's got you. And your kids, or you and your parents, or you and your grandkids, or you and your grandparents. So even if you don't have an ancestor who made this Jesus-centered legacy in your family 250 years ago, you can start doing that right now. And right now, I'm going to ask you to do exactly that. To make a decision for your family to serve the Lord, not only now, but generations to come. If you are here today as parents with your children, I want you to stand up because I want to pray for you. Grandparents, you're here with your grandchildren, I want you to stand up. If you're here today and for some reason your parents, your children, your spouse is not here, I want you to stand up anyway because you can stand in representation of your family. If you're divorced or a single parent, I want you to stand up because there's absolutely nothing that disqualifies you from making Jesus Christ the center of your family either. I know there's parents hearing me right now. You say, well, Kevin, my kids are so lost. I don't even know where they're at. That's okay. God does. You stand up. Amen. There's parents listening to this sermon. You had mom and dad horribly abusive. Simon Bar Sinister and Cruella DeVille were your mom and dad. And they treated you something awful. But listen to me. You don't have to repeat your parents' mistakes. Today, you can break that demonic cycle in your family of drinking and drugging and thugging and abuse. It stops today, and it stops right here with you. You say, Kevin, I don't think I was a very good parent. I don't know if my kids turned out very well. Your job is not to produce perfect children. Your job is to lead your children to a perfect God. You did that. Kevin, I don't know if I was a very good parent. I don't know if I was a very good son or a daughter or brother or sister. No, no. No looking back. This is not about anything that may have happened in the past. This is only about what's happening right now and what is going to start to happen right now until kingdom come. Time to take your family to the next level. Time to stop making excuses and start making history. Because a decision you make today can determine the course of your family for generations to come, just like it did with the Harts. Everybody standing. As we stand here in the presence of God who created the family, in the presence of the God who created your family, we serve notice today, right now, on every leftist, every Marxist, every enemy of God, every enemy of the family there is, every devil, every demon power in hell, that we are going to put Jesus Christ at the center of our families, that Jesus is going to come first in our families, that we are going to live for the Lord in our house. So in our family, the hearts of the fathers are going to be turned to the children, and the hearts of the children are going to be turned to the fathers. Our family will not have death, they will have life. My family will not have curses, my family will have blessings. As for me and my house, until Jesus parts the eastern sky and comes again, we will serve the Lord. Let's say it today like we mean it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lord, I pray for every single person standing here today and every single family that they represent, whether they're parents or children. Lord, you have given them a precious gift of family that is completely and totally designed by you, and a family, Lord, that you are still holding up as the example that we're supposed to follow. I pray, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would fall on these families right now, that you would raise up these parents and these children, these grandparents and these grandchildren, through the Spirit and the power of Elijah, that they would be that prophetic voice in the 21st century wilderness, calling people to prepare the way of the Lord. And I pray, Lord, that every single person here would do what needs to be done to pass on that godly legacy to the next family, to do the modeling, and the young people, the children, would do the receiving generation after generation until you come again. Lord, I pray that you would just hold us close to yourself. Our families would be ministries. Our families would be examples and witnesses to this world, generation after generation, until we all stand before you and hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." God, take a hold of our families. Never let us go. As for us and for our household, our families, our children, our parents, our great-grandchildren, we will serve you. All these things we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen. You can be seated.